Radio Network.
Yo, what's up? This is DDP, Diamond Dallas Page World Championship Wrestling, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
All right, we are back. 1 hour down, 1 hour to go. Sitting down with us right now, Michelle Watterson. Michelle, how are you?
I'm lovely. How are you?
You are my new favorite person.
Am I really?
Yeah, you are.
Why?
Because of the comment you just made. That it makes you happy to watch people eat.
It does.
And anybody who knows me, they know I like to eat.
I love it. Yeah, so me and you can just hang out, and I'll watch you eat.
Well, we can definitely do that.
But you have to describe the food to me, like, as you're doing it.
What would the proper food be to make you happy for me to eat to describe to you?
Everything.
Really?
Well, you know, right now I'm being a sissy when it comes to it all. Cutting to 115 isn't bad at all. 105, that's a different story. But my kryptonite, I would say, is like sweets. Like the sweet stuff I miss, and the salty, right, savory stuff I miss. You know.
Now, will you go grab some of that stuff after the fight, whether it's Sunday? When do you leave?
Sunday evening.
So there's a place called the Reading Terminal.
Okay.
On Broad Street.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go in there.
All right. That's what I heard.
Everything and anything is in there.
Well, they were telling me, because I was asking, where's the best Philly cheesesteak? And they said between Pat's and Jim's.
No, it's Pat and Gino's. But they're tourist traps. They're okay.
Uh-huh.
There's better ones.
What about Jim's? You didn't mention Jim's.
I don't know if I've ever been there.
They said Jim's South is the best. That's what I heard.
Okay. We just had a lady on that wrote a book about the best food in Philadelphia.
Okay.
So I'll find out from her, and I'll get it to you after. We won't talk steaks, you know, until then. But how can you be so happy talking about food when you can't eat it?
That would drive me crazy.
It
just makes me happy. You know, my husband hates it because, you know, just the smell of it makes me happy. Sometimes I'll bake a bunch of cookies or brownies with my daughter and then make my husband eat them all because I want to watch him eat it.
I'm going to have to try just to see if I can enjoy it and not eat it. I'll have my wife make some cookies, mm-hmm, and I'll just smell them and I'll see if I can stay away from them.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to work.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. I've always done that. Like since the beginning of my career, even on the treadmill, sometimes you have an option to watch TV and it's the Food Network that I'm watching. Guy Fieri's Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Right. Have you ever gone to any of those places? Do you watch the show and then go try them out?
Yeah, I do. I do. I'm a foodie, you know, so like you said, I'll look up the best places to go and then I'll go try them out. And so it's just unfortunate that I have to fight. It's not unfortunate, but I have a whole day to check out the city, we're excited.
We'll get off food in a second. I was watching Man vs. Food?
Uh-huh.
Is that what it's called? And there was like a 9 or 10 pound burger.
Oh my.
In Texas, and mm-hmm, I went to try to do it.
Yes.
And I ate like a quarter of it.
Oh.
When you walk in and they set it up, uh-huh, they put a trash bag there for you because they know you can't do it.
The trash bag is to throw up?
To throw up.
Really?
Yeah,
you didn't throw up,
though? No, I stopped at a quarter.
So did you fast before?
No.
Did you train? I think you kind of have to train your stomach
and
muscles to stretch out.
Right. See, we train by not eating.
Uh-huh.
We think that's better.
Yeah.
But all those international food eating guys, I mean, they shove food down to train.
Constantly. They're like working their jaw muscles. They're working their intestinal muscles. I watch this guy on YouTube. He has like his own eating YouTube channel. And he trains his stomach by eating like gobs and gobs and gobs of lettuce. Like things that are healthy for you. Lettuce and watermelon to stretch out his
stomach.
Really? His
so next time I go to a buffet, I need to do that first.
Yeah, you need to do that first. And then take a laxative. No.
What is the strangest thing you've ever thought about in the middle of a fight?
That's a first question that I've ever been asked. And
mic drop. I'm done. Matt, take over. You and Michelle are going to run the rest of the show.
This will be the first time I ever expose this answer because it's pretty embarrassing. But I'm over it now. Like it's whatever. I used to have like a false tooth down here on my lower level because it just never grew in. And I had this false tooth in, and I was fighting for a belt. I was in third round fighting for a championship belt, and she punched me, and my tooth went flying. And for the whole rest of the round, I couldn't think about the fight because I was worried about where my tooth went.
Oh, that's awesome. That's good stuff.
So she's on top of me, ground pounding me, and I'm looking around on the canvas, like trying to find my tooth, and I'm like, so embarrassed. It got so distracted, but it was that much of a, like, you know, it bothered me that much that I had a missing tooth. And then after the round was over, the ref comes over and hands the tooth to my husband. And after that, I was like, what am I doing? I'm getting punched in the face. I'm sitting here worried about my tooth. Like, go out there toothless and win this fight. And I did.
That's awesome. And then what happened to the tooth?
The tooth got put back in right before my post-fight speech.
Really? That's awesome. That's good stuff. Go ahead and tweet that out, Matt. It's the first time it's ever been asked.
It's pretty interesting. But I got a permanent tooth put in now, so it's nothing that I can ever have to worry about.
I don't think it's embarrassing at all. Mm-hmm. See, what I think is you can be so distracted and worried about your tooth and still win the fight. I think that's big ups.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. I mean, it was a whirlwind of different things. But that's funny that you asked that because there can be a million things going on in your mind when you're in 15 minutes. Like, it's crazy.
Well, how about just walking to the cage? Yep. I mean, what are you thinking? Are you thinking fight, or are you thinking about, I don't want to lose
brownies?
A tooth, or the smell of a brownie?
Everything. Actually, no, it's not everything. It's the same adrenaline you get when you're in line to get on a roller coaster, a terrifying roller coaster. The same adrenaline you get when you go to sleep before you wake up the night before Christmas. It's the same feeling I get. Or I got when I realized I was going into labor. It's that adrenaline spike and the fight or flight, all those butterflies in your stomach, all of those things happen all at once. It's the, you know, how many people are talking in your head? They're all talking, you know?
Right. Well, you had me up, you know, through the food and through the roller coaster. You lost me on the childbirth thing. I can't relate to that. You know, sorry about that. ESPN, what's that like? You know, the feeling, I mean, we've all watched ESPN at some form, and to now know you're going to fight on ESPN, your name's on the crawl at the bottom on ESPN.
Yeah. It's crazy. It really is a staple of legitimacy, I feel like. And to be able to, I've been fighting for over 12 years, and to say that I'm, you know, still in my prime, fighting in the top 10 of my division, on a win streak, for ESPN, I couldn't have written it any better. And it's an amazing journey. And I appreciate every, you know, twist and turn that I have been on to get here.
Is it the same adrenaline rush of seeing yourself on a Topps card as it is to see your name on the four-letter network?
It is. It's just crazy. You know, the ESPN body issue, that was crazy. That's iconic. That's any athlete that is anybody, you know, would love to be on the ESPN body issue. And I got to be in the issue on the cover. It's so cool.
How did that happen? How did it come down? How did you find out? And how quick was the yes?
Well, I was behind the desk, working a UFC event, and, somebody from ESPN had reached out to the producers and said, hey, you know, we understand she fights. We love her story. Do you think she'd be interested in doing ESPN body? And it's kind of nerve wracking, you know, as a female, as a mother, as a wife. There are so many different things that you kind of want to take into consideration before you say yes. The biggest thing is, you know, my husband. I want him to know that I 100% respect him and his wishes, but the idea behind the ESPN body issue is to showcase the athletic body and the beauty of it. And when the more I looked at it, the more I realized, like, the human body is beautiful, like, it is amazing, And why do we have to, when we see a naked body, sexualize it? Why can't we just embrace it as this beautiful machine and not sexualize it, but look at it as this amazing piece of artwork? And it really is. Like, you can make your human body into whatever you want it to be. If you want it to be, you know, if you want to be a hockey player, if you want to be the best dancer, best gymnast, best fighter, you can decide to make your body into that. And it will do it.
And I'm shooting to be a sumo wrestler.
And that's beautiful.
That's what I'm shooting for.
That's beautiful.
When? How long do you think it'll be? And I hope this makes sense, this question. It's taken a long time for women, you know, to get into MMA and be recognized as MMA fighters. I want it to get where you're just a fighter.
Yeah.
You know, and that we're not saying a male fighter and a female fighter. What do we need to do to get to that level?
I think we need to stop separating it. We need to stop saying, you know, up next is the female fighter, blah, blah, blah. You just don't say it. Like, when I train, I train with my teammates. I don't say, I'm going to train with my male teammates or my female teammates. Like, my male teammates don't look at me as a female teammate. They look at me as their teammate.
As a teammate.
Yeah, and that's it. Like, you just don't bring it up. It's like when you tell somebody not to think about an elephant, they think about an elephant. Like, I'm an athlete. I'm a fighter, and just address me as that.
When you come to a city, Philadelphia, I was born here. I was stationed here. I love the city of Philadelphia, the food and everything to do there. How can you separate a work trip and you want to go and see the Rocky statue?
Well,
you are going to go see the Rocky
did.
Statue.
Okay. We went and saw it yesterday, and that's a bucket list thing you have to do, especially as a fighter. I mean, man, it was cool. It gave me goosebumps, but here's the thing. I've been doing martial arts for 20 years. I've been fighting professionally for over 12 years. I've been training for this fight for 8 weeks. All the work is done. Like, if it's not, then you didn't study right for the test.
Right.
You know, so by this time you should be cruising. Like, you should be popped yourself in cruise control, and all I have to do is cut weight, you know. So that's my biggest stress. Everything else is fun. It's enjoyment. This is the time for me to just zero in on my objective on Saturday and to enjoy the ride.
So will you go and do some other things? And are you a Rocky Balboa fan of the whole series?
100%. Yeah. It's like one of those things. It's an iconic movie, and I feel like it's a movie that transcends over any type of sport, any type of inspiration. Like, you can be a seamstress and find inspiration from Rocky, because the story resonates with everybody.
Sure.
It's a story of life. It's a story of struggle, and it's a story of what you do when you hit that wall. And everybody can relate to that.
I think Rocky says it's not about getting hit down, how many times you get hit down or knocked down, it's how many times you get back up.
It's about how hard you get hit and how you get back up from it.
So the reason I'm asking you that is I'm putting my own little tour together on Friday, and I can give you the addresses of all the places we're going.
Okay.
Which will be the gym, the bar, the pet shop. We're going to all of that stuff, my brother and I, on Friday.
Wow.
So there's a website of all that stuff to go to, and that's all we're going to do on Friday.
I think that'd be really cool. So we have weigh-ins on Friday, but we don't have the ceremonial weigh-ins. And so we have kind of the whole day to do stuff. So I would love that link. And if you send that over to me, I'll share it on my Instagram story, so people that are in town for the fights can come do the tour with you.
I will get you that info. Tell us what we can expect on Saturday on ESPN.
You can expect the best Michelle Waterson that you've seen. There's so much of myself that I haven't been able to showcase underneath the lights. And I think I've just reached a point in my career where I don't care. I am who I am, and I'm going to go out there and I'm going to show everybody who I am. And I'm comfortable. I'm excited and I'm fired up. And Rocky got me fired up.
There you go. Before I let you go, tell me, have you ever seen Greg Jackson upset? Has he ever?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, tell me about it. He's a friend of mine. I've stayed at his house. I've never seen him upset.
Yeah, he gets upset when, you know, he sees his fighters hurt. He gets upset when, you know, when things happen through carelessness. You know, when if one of the, we have a fluctuation of fighters coming through the gym 24/7, like from all around the world. And, you know, him and Coach Wink, they travel every weekend to corner these fighters. And when they come back home on Monday, if we had a bad week, you better believe, like, the team's hearing about it. Right. And we're addressing those problems. We come back Monday and three of our teammates lost. Well, guess what? This is why we lost. And you guys shouldn't be making these silly mistakes. You know, you guys are winners. And what are we doing here? Like, if we're not fixing these mistakes, what are we doing?
What was your thought when Greg said, and I'm sure he said it to you guys, he said it to me like 5 years ago, I'm going to cut back on my travel.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's doubled it.
I think everybody needs a break. You know, travel is so exhausting. Travel is so hard on the body, the mind, and everything. And if you don't have the capability to adjust, if you don't have the time to recover, then man, you're running on empty, and it can suffocate you. It can deplete you. It can break you down. There's a fine line between you know, hard work and overwork.
Sure. Final question for you. Marcus Jones, a former UFC fighter, was on The Ultimate Fighter, played for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, once told me that he didn't like playing football.
Mm-hmm.
He was just good at it.
Yeah.
Do you like fighting? Are you just good at it, or both?
You know, it's funny because I got into martial arts, and when I first started martial arts, I was more of the artistic side of it. I loved doing the forms, and I got really into the flips and performing in front of people. But there was something about the physical aspect of it that made me uncomfortable. And I remember, and my parents will tell you the same thing, I was sparring at a tournament, and I was sparring this really big girl, and she knocked me back on my butt so hard. She kicked me in the face, and my nose was bleeding, and the whole crowd went silent, kind of just wait, you know, when a kid falls and everybody tries to wait to see what happens.
Right.
I remember like wiping my nose and seeing blood and just this fire burning inside of me that I wanted to get her back. And from that point on, I knew that I had that fight in me. I had that instinct. It's fight or flight. And I didn't want to run. I wanted to go back. I wanted to go back in and get that back. And that's what I love. I love the fact that I'm scared of it, that there's so many things that are out of my control, but I love the fact that I do it anyways.
That's awesome. I'm going to send you a care package. One of our sponsors is Wicked Good Cupcakes.
Yes.
So after your fight, we're going to send you some Wicked Good Cupcakes. I don't know if you saw them on Shark Tank.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get your information. We'll have it sent to you next week.
Yes,
for,
I love
for
that.
For giving us a couple of minutes of your time. Best of luck on Saturday.
You're the best.
And have fun in front of my fellow brothers and sisters in the city of brotherly love.
Are you going to be at the fight?
Oh, absolutely.
Amazing.
No, this will be my 180th UFC?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been to a few.
So being raised in Philly.
Well, I wasn't raised. I was only born here.
Oh, you were born here.
My mom flew to Philadelphia every 2 years to have all the kids born in Philly.
Really? Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, can't tell you why. I don't know. I mean, I can guess. Mm-hmm. The same doctor that delivered my mom and my uncle delivered two of my three siblings.
Keep it in the family.
Yeah. And then my younger brother was 11 or 12 pounds, and my mom said, I'm not moving anywhere.
Holy moly. Yeah. My daughter was 6 and I was screaming at the doctor to put her back in.
He was, my wife said when she was delivering one of my children, can I go home and come back tomorrow? and I can't say anything because I know I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
You know, the women are amazing.
Yep. There's that point of no return.
Awesome.
Okay, cool. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for your time. Let me get your address and info. We're also going to send you a care package from Ape Man Strong.
All right.
So you're going to get some swag and you're going to get some wicked good cupcakes.
Amazing.
Good stuff, right, Matt?
That's amazing. Great stuff.
We're going to go from talking about the UFC and the fights and what's going on here in Philadelphia to one of the coolest things. We've had Jonathan Snyder on before from Contender Clothing. Now that we're broadcasting in Philadelphia, we're going to talk about some of the Rocky swag that he has, as well as the Karate Kid stuff that they have as well. Jonathan, how are you?
I'm great. Great to talk to you again, Randy.
It's certainly good to talk to you. Let's talk about some of the Rocky Balboa, the shirts. I know you sent us a couple. We're going to take some photos out at the statue later today and tomorrow. Talk about some of the new products and the new lines.
Well, first of all, I love that you're in the city of brotherly love doing the broadcast and
doing
representing
a fight.
Contenders. Yeah, doing the fight. It's great. Yeah, so we started with a license for boxer briefs. So we've got a collection of boxer briefs that look like the trunks that the iconic characters wore in the movies. So everything from, in the movies, the Rocky movies. So anything from Rocky 1, Rocky 2, Rocky 3, the Apollo Creed, Clubbers in both blue and black, and then a Creed design that he wore in Creed 1. So because of the success of that, we then added on T-shirts, and so we've got a collection of five new T-shirts that our goal is to create very unique designs for T-shirts. We don't just take a logo and put it on. It's T-shirts you can't find anywhere else. You can only find them at Contenders, and it's a kind of an elevated type of design where we really think about how can we make a new, unique Rocky T-shirt that hasn't been done before. And our five styles, I think, do that, from our 1979 that says Rocky beats Apollo 1979 to a shirt that just has the hair of each of the main characters of Rocky 1 through Rocky 4.
And every shirt is like your children. So, you know, there can't be one that you like, you know, more than others. But the one where Apollo and Rocky are running through the beach, the big iconic scene before he goes to fight, you know, Mr. T or Clubber Lang, to me is one of the best things you guys have out there.
I think you're right. But I do tell my kids, I have three boys, and I tell them each day I have a favorite, but I don't have a favorite all the time. So I think that there's a nuance there.
it changes. And it's funny because I always tell my dad, there's three siblings, so I'm four. And I always tell my dad that I'm fifth out of four.
Well, some days I think my youngest feels like he's fourth out of three. But yeah, you know, I was really excited that we did the what we call the friendship tee, which is the training tee T-shirt on the beach. We did another T-shirt for Karate Kid where we did a tank top and a T-shirt of the training scene on the beach where Miyagi and Danielson are training karate. Leading up to the big tournament. So because of the success of that T-shirt, we decided to do another kind of still on the T-shirt. On, you know, like one of those, you know, as you guys know, we like to do the heathery, soft, fitted type of T-shirt. So it feels great. You can work out in it, but you can also wear it all day.
Will you do something else with Cobra Kai and then Cobra Kai 2?
Yeah, we have an entire collection of new... It's still Karate Kid-inspired product because the 35th anniversary of Karate Kid is this year, and Karate Kid's coming back in the theater. We actually partnered with Fathom Events, who's putting Karate Kid back in theaters on March 31st and April 2nd, and we have a trailer appearing before the film, and coincident with that, we're dropping six or seven new styles from T-shirts, baseball T-shirts, long sleeves, and hats, so... Those will be available for pre-sale on Saturday.
How difficult, Jonathan, was it to, A, decide that you wanted to go with Karate Kid, you wanted to go with Rocky Balboa, and how difficult was it to acquire the license to be able to do this?
You know, the brand Contenders lends itself to the idea of competition. So when we're grounded in that idea... The fictional stuff that we do, the fictional licenses we do, it makes sense to have those films or personalities that were competitors and had to compete against something. So Rocky is the most known contender of them all, right?
Sure.
Karate Kid has a contender vibe to it, although there is some debate of whether, you know, was Daniel... and really the contender good guy, or we see kind of the bad guy. But, you know, we look at things where there is the spirit of competition and where there is a versus kind of element to it. Now that changes when we released our Muhammad Ali collection. So we signed a license with Authentic Brands Group, who manages the rights for Muhammad Ali, and we will be releasing Muhammad Ali. He happens to be one of the greatest champions of all time, not necessarily a contender, although, you know, what he would say is that, you know, every day you don't quit and you fight so that you can rest the rest of your life, you know. So those kinds of decisions are easy. As far as getting the licenses are concerned, you know, we have a track record, so it becomes a little bit easier to have these discussions with these big media companies and brand holding companies that control these licenses, and we can go to them and you know, not just try to be just another licensee that's trying to take a logo and put it on something, but we're trying to do something different, unique, and compelling to our customers. And we want people like, you know, you guys have talked about it, and a lot of our customers are just fanatical. You know, we get almost 100% five-star reviews. We're trying to give the customer something they can't get anywhere else and that they feel great about.
Awesome. Very good stuff. Where can people get information? Where can they purchase any of your contender clothing?
Yeah. So you can go to contendersclothing.com, and you can find all of our stuff there. There are some smaller boutique and retailers out there that would take me too long to list. So you're better off going to our website. We offer promotions. There's a promotion going on right now where you can buy 4 Rocky boxer briefs, 4 Karate Kid boxer briefs for $70. So that works out to be about $17.50 a unit. And again, these are premium products with the best possible cotton and or fabrics that we use. So you'll be happy with your purchase.
Definitely good stuff. I will be wearing my shirt when I go out to the Rocky statue later tonight. I will be wearing it when I go hit the bar and the gym and the pet shop and all that stuff on Saturday as well. Jonathan, as always, sir, thank you very much for your time, and let's talk again soon.
Hey, Randy, thanks so much. I look forward to seeing those pictures.
Absolutely. That is Jonathan from Contender Clothing. We're going to go hit a quick break. When we come back, Desmond Green stopping by, and we're going to talk about, again, Saturday night, ESPN, UFC on ESPN2 when we return.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain free, and cauliflower crust, to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza. That's Tour de Pizza.
Hey, it's Bud Bunny, the host of Kegs and Eggs, Tampa's only adult egg hunt. Free beer, free music, free games and contests, food trucks and more. Search for eggs with over $75,000 in cash and prizes. Party starts at 11. Egg hunt starts at 1. No jelly beans, just jello shots from this bunny. Information and tickets at kegsandeggstampa.com.
The world's most exotic cars are gathering for Festivals of Speed, presented by Burt Smith Porsche, Sunday, April 7th in St. Petersburg's Fenway Park. Festivals of Speed is a gathering of 300-plus exotic, classic, American muscle cars and motorcycles. Names like Ferrari, Lamborghini, Porsche will all be on display. Be a VIP with tickets to the VIP section. Enjoy open bar, great food, exclusive settings, and more. For information, visit festivalsofspeed.com. That's festivals with an S of speed.com or call 352-406-9325. That's 352-406-9325.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust, to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza. That's Tour de Pizza.
Party like a pirate at the Bay Area Renaissance Festival. Open weekends February 16th through March 31st. Discount coupons available at Hungry Howie's Pizza. Discount tickets available at Circle K and BayAreaRenFest.com.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
Hi, this is Vinny LeCavalier, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
All right, we are back. Final segment here, coming to you live from UFC Media Room as we get ready for UFC on ESPN2. Desmond Green, our final athlete to speak to. And I want to talk about your fight. But let's start with talking about Rocky Balboa.
Yes.
You just told me you came from the statue, and what was that like?
Oh, man, it was dope. It was beautiful. You know, being a guy who grew up on Rocky, as we was talking about, I just had to go there. It wasn't even an option. You know, last week I said, you know, Wednesday I'm going to go down, do the whole Rocky thing, take pictures, run up the steps. I have my boy shoot the video by my side. I'm shadow boxing up the steps. I get to the top, both hands up like Rocky. Man, it was good. It was fun. It was definitely fun.
Now, are you going to go do any of the other things? Like we were just talking about the pet shop, the gym, the bar where the iconic, you knock him down. Any of that stuff interest you?
Yeah. I was thinking about it. So I was thinking about maybe Sunday, because I got a couple friends coming up from Rochester, from New York, that'll be here through the weekend. So I'm thinking Sunday we're going to do like a whole little theme, hit the town.
I'll get you the addresses of all, because we're going to go do it on Friday.
Okay.
So I'll have all, there's websites and the whole nine yards.
Send them all through, bro. Send them all through.
Have you seen them all, and which is your favorite Rocky?
I've seen them all, and my favorite one is probably Drago, him three, Rocky three, yeah. Is that, that's the one with Drago, right?
Drago's four.
Four, yeah. I mean, four, one behind, yeah. That's my favorite one, probably because, like, that was one of the biggest, like, underdogs. You know, he got beat up bad first, and then he had to come back and really, really restructure his whole camp for that fight.
So I played you my ringtone, but, of course, your favorite one is where, when the fight started, you didn't like me none.
Yeah, my favorite quote in Rocky IV was when Mick, when he cut Drago, and Mick looked at him and said, look at him. He bleeds just like us. Right. You know, I love that. It just reminds you, like, everybody's all the same at the end of the day. You know, it's just who wants it more.
Well, you know, and it's funny because a lot of times people don't really watch and listen. You know, there are storylines, and that's some of the things that Stallone was trying to do. And big ups to him. And I know you know the whole story. He came from really nothing and refused to sell it. And then Rocky won now to 700 and Rambo 412. And, you know, so he's definitely doing all right. What's it like for you being a Rocky guy to now fight in Philadelphia coming on Saturday night, you know, in the city of brotherly love, which is ironic because it's also a fighting city too. Yeah, how can you be both? Yeah. But, you know, give me your thoughts about fighting in Philly.
No, I love it. I love fighting in Philly and, you know, not only because of Rocky, but, you know, it's kind of close to New York. So I got a lot of family and friends coming and, Philly is like one of the biggest cities known for us fighting, you know, so just to get to come here, it's kind of monumental for me, you know, I just love it.
Does New York dislike Philly like they dislike Boston or?
No, New York and Philly, we're kind of like cousins. Okay. Nothing like Boston. You know, every New Yorker I know is like Boston. Yeah. Philly is cool. It's okay. You know? Yeah. We don't mind Philly.
See, I didn't know that far out in Rochester would still dislike Boston. I know New York City and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no. I got guys in Rochester. Like one of my best friends. So I got three best friends. One of them is a Yankee fan and the other is a Red Sox fan.
Really?
And it's crazy because the one that's a Red Sox fan, he gets heat from everybody all the time. Like, you know, so yeah, even up in Rochester, they still carry that pride for New York
for New
versus
York.
Boston. Yeah.
All right. So you're a young green growing up and you decide, I want to become a fighter. Walk me through that. How did that happen? Was it instant? Was it something that kind of took time?
I was actually 16 years old in my driveway. I remember like it was yesterday, and one of my neighbors came over with one of the old UFC tapes. I'm talking like when they used to wear wrestling shoes, one glove, and then one MMA glove. Those types of tapes.
That's one. That's UFC one.
Yeah. So I watched it, and I just remember looking at him like, and I used to get into a lot of fights as a kid. You know, I was just always scrappy. And I look, I'm like, they get paid to do this, and like, you know, they get praised for this. But I could do this. I've always been a wrestler. I've been wrestling since like middle school. So when I found out that there was like a combat sport, I was all for it. At 16, I told my best friend, I was like, you know what, I'm gonna be in the UFC. And I always wrestled, so you know, I did good. I was a state champion in high school. Went to college, all American and freestyle. And actually, my college coach, he left us halfway through the year because he got invited to go on the Ultimate Fighter show. His name was like Timothy Bradley. And so it just even more rooted him. Like, you know, coach is doing, I could definitely do it. So,
but have you ever tried to use one of those big oversized red gloves?
No, I haven't. Right? Yeah. I don't know how they used to do that, man. I don't know how they used to do that. But a funny story about Philly is, in 2010, I actually wrestled at Nationals at the Wells Fargo Arena. And so this is like me coming right back around for it. And so I'm excited to get back there.
That just shows how young you are and how old I am. You know, because I remember the Spectrum, and you're talking about Wells Fargo.
Yeah.
You know, which is the new arena.
Yeah.
What's it like, ESPN? You know, what will it be like? You know, and I'm sure you've already seen your name on the scroll, and I've asked every fighter. It's to a whole new level now.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I told my friends, I'm like, yo, I'm going to be on ESPN. Like, just being a kid from Rochester, you know, growing up from nothing, I used to share clothes, hand-me-downs, all this. And, you know, now I got my mom out here, and I moved my mom from New York to Florida, and now, you know, I'm fighting on ESPN, too. It's like TV. It's I'll never get used to it. I'll always have appreciation for it. And it just really just makes me even more hungry. You know, I'm like, all right, now I'm here. You know, next time I want that headlining show. I just want to keep climbing up.
Have you thought about, and we've already talked about it, being a fighting city of Philadelphia, the fans that are going to be there that love fighting, you know, they love fighters that are going to come in there and fight. Is that going to add to the fight? Is that going to add to the enjoyment of what you're going to do for the fans?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's always more enjoyable to fight in front of a crowd that's knowledgeable. And, you know, like you said, I definitely think the crowd here is going to be knowledgeable on the fighting and, you know, what's going on. You know, I think they'll be real interactive. And me, I want to be a lot more aggressive this fight than my previous ones anyway. So it kind of all ties in for me.
What's your thought process as you're walking to the cage? What are you thinking about? Are you trying not to think at all?
Honestly, bro, my thoughts is all over the place. I kind of got to reel them in sometimes. You know, I'll be walking to the cage and I'll be thinking like, all right, yeah, Game of Thrones is coming on next week again. Like stuff like that. You know what I mean? I'll be like, all right, come on, focus. You got to fight. Because to me, fighting is not serious. It's fun. Like I got into it not because I don't dislike people and I want to beat people up. I got into it off the competition factor. I want to see who's the better man. So, you know, my thoughts are all over the place. It's always fun. I'm always smiling. I remember one time I stepped into the cage and my opponent was grilling me and I kind of smirked and I kind of had to look away because I didn't want like him to think I was like playing or didn't take it serious. But yeah, I'm such a joyful guy. When I go in there, my thoughts is everywhere. I just think about just putting on a good show, performing.
Well, if you've thought about that walking to the cage, have you ever thought about something like that in the middle of a fight? And I always explain this question. I was interviewing one of the fighters, and he said that he was fighting Dennis Siever, who's German.
Yeah.
And his coaches were talking in German. And he said about 3 seconds in the middle of a fight, he's throwing a punch, and he's thinking of that Glorious Bastard movie, which I've never seen, so I don't know what that means. But he said that I lost it for 3 seconds.
Yeah.
And then I had to reel myself back in. I'm in a fight. Have you ever drifted in the middle of the fight as well?
No, not really. I haven't really drifted. You know, I've maybe not had as
focus
as I needed to, but I've never really drifted because when I'm in there, it's like, honestly, everything goes so fast. It's like, sometimes I don't even remember, like, you know, I'll do something like a nice move or something. And the guy's like, yo, what made you? I'm like, yo, I didn't even know I did that. I just kind of go off autopilot.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts when the UFC calls and says, all right, we want you to fight this guy, or in this case, Ross Pearson, you know, who comes to fight and it should be an exciting fight. Is that the first thing you think of? This guy's going to bring it. I'm going to bring it. We can entertain.
Yeah, definitely. Me, I say yes to any and everybody. So I always love when I get an opponent that has a name. Before I got to the UFC, I was watching Ross Pearson fight. You know what I mean? So to me, it's an honor to fight him. And, you know, as soon as they brought it up, I always want the toughest guys. And so, yeah, you know, I'm always excited when I get a chance to fight somebody, you know, like him.
What is something that you'd like to tell the national audience about yourself that they may not know or we may not know? You're a snazzy dresser.
thank you. I love cartoons, man. That's where I get my name Toon from. Everybody always asks why do people call you Toon? And yeah, it's because 1 year, I think it was when the Rams, like 2003, when the Rams won the Super Bowl, a bunch of my friends came over to watch the Super Bowl at my house, and it was a new episode of Dragon Ball Z on. And I'm like, y'all might want to go home because I'm watching Dragon Ball Z. It's no Super Bowl over here. And they're like, yo, you're Toon, bro. You should love cartoons. All you do. Even last night, my mom got in last night. I'm watching Teen Titans. She walks in. She's like, oh, still watching cartoons? I'm like, you know it.
Nothing has changed. All right, I'm going to change the question because it's normally around food and dinner, so we don't talk about that a couple of days before weigh-in. If you could sit down and just kind of hang out in the backyard with 4 people, living or passed away, and it can't be family members, it can't be people from the gym, you know, that kind of stuff. And this is another way that we get to know you a little bit. Who would those 4 people be?
Oh, this would be pretty easy. Well, I know my first 2 off the bat would be Bob Marley, Malcolm X, and the last 2, it will probably be Muhammad Ali and let me think. Who's the 4th? Lil Wayne. I got to say Lil Wayne. Yeah, he's my favorite artist.
Cool. And the reason I ask these questions is because, A, we get to know you a little bit, and sometimes there's answers that come back, and you kind of scratch your head at first, and then you explain it. So I had one of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on once, and I asked him, and he said, well, one of my four would be Hitler. Now, I'm Jewish, so the last thing I want to do is sit down with Hitler.
Yeah.
And he explained why. He goes, I want to sit down. You know, what are you thinking? Why did you go that direction? And you know, so it's interesting, and that's how you really get to find out a little bit about people. What, as fans, as we sit back Saturday night, UFC on ESPN2, what should we expect in your fight with Ross?
Oh, man, be expecting fireworks. I'm going out there looking for a finish. I really need to dominate in this fight. 2019 is really the year I want to be my breakout year. And not only that, but the UFC is coming to Rochester, New York, May 18th. And, man, I need to win this fight so I could get on that microphone and beg Dana and Sean to put me on that Rochester card, because I got so much love out there.
How important is that for you to fight there and for the UFC to use you there, because you're from there? It would just go hand in hand, right?
Man, it's so important, bro. Like, if you were at the Buffalo card that they had last year, which is an hour from Rochester, I literally had the whole audience, the whole crowd screaming and chanting my name. Like, you know, even Dana was like, yo, you had the biggest roar in your entrance out of everybody, even the headlining show, even the headlining fighters. So I got a lot of love in Rochester, and I'm always screaming Rochester to the death of me. And it would just be so monumental and, you know, feel good for me to fight in that city.
Do you feel that you're going to need to block that out as you go to the fight? Because you don't want to put too much pressure on yourself that you have to win for the Rochester card.
Yeah, no, a lot of people are telling me, you know, don't get too far ahead. But me, no, it's motivation. Like, I'm thinking about it. I'll be thinking about it out there. If it gets down to the nitty and gritty, I'm going to be like, bro, you better sack up, because if you want to get on that Rochester card, you got to win this fight. So I use it as motivation.
The reverse. Yeah. Awesome. Well, Desmond, sir, thank you very much.
We're going to
give you a package from 8-Man Strong. They're going to send you out some gear, so if you can just fill that out with your address and shirt size, we're going to hook you up with that. I'm going to shoot it back to you, Matt, so you can read down the card, and then we'll do some predictions when we come back.
It's a UFC Fight Night, Barbosa versus Gaethje, Saturday, March 30th, 7 p.m. at the Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia. Obviously, the headliner main event is the lightweight bout, Edson Barbosa versus Justin Gaethje. Your middleweight bout for your co-main event is David Branch versus Jack Hermanson, and then followed up by your featherweight bout, Josh Emmett versus Michael Johnson. Carolina Kowick, man, I got terrible with these names. Kowicki versus Michelle Watterson, the karate hottie, and Kenny Chawiku versus Paul Craig, Yusuf versus Morales as your main card. It's going to be an exciting fight. There's a couple sleepers on this card. You know, maybe some names you might not know of, the average casual fan, but there's going to be some fireworks in Philadelphia. That's to be guaranteed in the city of brotherly love, and more importantly, the city of Rocky, where fighting is the birthplace. And, we're looking forward to this fight night. But as you can see from the interviews that Jermaine's been doing, there's a lot going on in Philly. Not only food tours, but it's got the opening day for the Phillies. the action-packed Kiss concert. I mean, what a time to be in Philadelphia. So if you're on the East Coast, make sure you get down to the Wells Fargo Center Saturday, March 30th. Check out that fight night. It's definitely going to be worth your time.
I may just stay there.
You should just stay there. That's an amazing... It's an amazing time.
What I'm saying is I'm going to be there Friday night for the Kiss concert. So I may just stay in my seat Friday. No reason to go back, you know, to the hotel or whatever. And I'll be ready to go at, you know, 2:30 whenever we start on Saturday.
What an amazing fight card. It looks like it's going to be an amazing weekend. Wish I was there.
You know what? Taking it one step further, and this is one of the things that I've always talked about, and this is one of the things that, you know, I stress, you know, when I travel, you know, with the NFL, and I travel with the sport that I care the least about, baseball, and, you know, the difference of the athletes. We had four trained professional fighters, I was going to call them killers, you know, that you would never know that talking to these four athletes. You know, and that's what it's taken us years and years and years to try to get out to the public. And I think, and one of the fighters even said it, being on ESPN is going to now help that. I don't know about it, legitimize it even more, because I've always thought the sport was legitimate. But I know Joe Public, you know, that's not a fan yet, or that still isn't a fan, may flip on ESPN to watch, what is it, darts and cornhole and the spelling bee.
And World Series of Poker.
Yeah. Yeah, all of those, right? So it's definitely a good time, in the sport as it continues to grow. And I still think there is growing to be done. You know, there's more exposure to be done. And I think the four-letter network is definitely a good start there.
Well, I mean, you've covered combat sports for eternity now. And
I'm offended by that.
No, I mean, it's a compliment in a weird way.
Okay.
But you've covered the rugby sevens out of Las Vegas. You know, you've covered NHL and hockey. We saw Vinny LeCavier last Monday. I mean, some of the greatest, most, like, you know, roughest sports, most like bad dudes on the planet are always and usually the most humbled and most gracious and you know, most respectful when it comes to interviews and media. And so, you know, it's not surprising that the UFC guys you just interviewed and these warriors are exactly at that. They're humbled and gracious and amazing.
All right, let me ask you a question. Opening day tomorrow for the Tampa Bay Rays. How bad do they lose?
I'm not sure who they play.
Yep, exactly.
They'll lose 6-0. No, 6-1.
I'm gonna say.
Well, no, wait a second. I'll change my answer because I was just talking trash. But honestly, they got Blake Snell. He's getting the ball. Cy Young Award winner. Just signed a $50 million contract. I think he's got something to prove. So I say the Rays win 3-1.
All right. Let me ask you a question. Think of this as a business, okay?
Okay.
If you had your ace, wouldn't you maybe throw your ace game 3? Wouldn't it better your chance to win game 3? You're going against, and I don't even know who they're playing, and honestly, I don't even care.
right?
I don't. So their ace, granted he's the Cy Young winner and all that kind of stuff, but, you know, I would maybe throw him game 3. Let's get him some easy wins right out of the blocks.
Well, you got to go game 1 because the first game, that's when everybody's taking off work, everybody's calling in sick. Downtown's going to be electric. The Trop's going to be alive. Furs is going to be packed. So you got to put your best player out there to give at least the hopes of having a good season. Win, you know, go out with a victory, get the first game under your belt. So you got to do it. You got to put your star out there.
All right. So I've been told forever that you always want to wait, and they play the Astros tomorrow, that you never want to buy tickets a week out. You want to wait and, like, walk up. Right?
Okay.
So we talked about what I'm doing up here in Philly and all the things I'm covering. Well, I wanted to kind of do something cool for my brother who's a sponsor of the show and et cetera, et cetera. So I'm taking him to the home opener tomorrow. I bought the tickets 2 weeks ago. I just saw the same row, well, the row behind, the same seats, is $325 per ticket cheaper.
No.
Yes.
That's because they announced that Bryce Harper was coming to town and they needed to make some money off that $330 million contract.
Well, no, these are the individuals that sold the tickets. You know, it's probably a season ticket holder. And I'm not holding anything against them. I remember telling Vinny Curry, who, by the way, just re-signed with the Philadelphia Eagles, when he was talking to me about the crowds and, you know, why are there so many opposing fans in the stadium, you know, when they played the Patriots and et cetera. And I said, Vinny, because they can sell their 2 tickets to the New England Patriots to pay for their entire season package.
Sure.
And he goes, oh, okay, that makes sense. So I'm not going to hate the guy, you know, that made probably half of his season package on me. And we've got great seats behind the Phillies dugout. And, you know, we're going to have a good time. And then when the game's over, you know what I'm doing?
Going to get a cheesesteak.
No, I'm walking across the parking lot, and then I'm going to win the Sixer game.
Oh, okay. Or that.
That's
here's the question. The question is,
how much money, what kind of thank you gift did Bryce Harper send Mike Trout? Because now all the pressure's off of him. I mean, he signs a $330 million contract, the highest in history. And then a week later, the Angels give Trout $430 million, like dwarfing that contract. So now Trout's kind of off the hook, isn't he?
Well, no, I think Trout sends the thank you gift to Bryce Harper, not Bryce Harper to Trout. Trout sends Harper the thank you because when they saw 330, they all laughed at it. And they said, 330, hold my beer. And then 440.
Yeah, but Bryce doesn't have to do anything now. He's not the highest paid. He's not going to have all the attention. I think he's off the hook.
I think they're both off the hook. You know,
I think they're both going to win another championship.
Well, no. What do you mean another? They both have to win their first.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Baseball, the only sport where you can win nothing and get paid.
Well, but that's every sport. I mean, it's every sport, every athlete. I mean, they
to that level, though? I mean, that's absurd. That's obscene money.
But what? But Matt, what is that telling you? That's
that baseball revenues
is.
I mean, I get it. You football. You have 16 regular season games and 8 of them at home. Now you got 162 games in baseball, so you got 81 of them at home. So there's a lot more revenue, a lot more viewership, a lot more TV rights.
Speaking of home, being that I'm in the city that my parents were born and in the city that my grandparents lived. Speaking of home, I'm headed to those homes. I'm going to 336 East Ashdale Street. I'm going to go hang out at a couple of the houses that my parents grew up in, and I am so looking forward to it. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I want to thank all of our guests, and as always, I want to thank the UFC for making this all possible. And I'm out. I'm going to hit some cheesesteaks and some houses. Hit me up on Twitter at Knockout Radio.
Make it Pizza Man 1.
Thanks to 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. We'll see you next week.
Ape Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are Ape Man Strong.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.